Good evening. Welcome to Faith Baptist Church tonight. I had a good service this morning. Looking forward to how God works in our hearts tonight also. Got something a little special planned for you tonight. Missionary Alan Berry is here with us, and he's going to open us up in a word of prayer. Then I asked him also to give us a short testimony about how prayer and fasting has worked in his life as a missionary and how it's been a blessing to him. And then also he's going to do a violin solo for us before the evening service. So we're getting ready to look at our prayer list tonight. So if you have a copy of the prayer list, make sure you get it and have it out. If not, it's going to be very simple for you to write it out. Or if you want an email copy of it, you're welcome to let me know and we can take care of that. But Brother Barry, if you'll come, thank you for being here tonight with us.
And good evening. As he said, my name is Alan Berry. My wife Beverly is here tonight. We have a son, Robert, and a daughter, Sonia. But we have been over 40 years supported by this particular church and served the Lord in two different mission fields, in the Pacific and in the Caribbean. Our last 30 years, we were down in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. He asked me to give a short testimony on prayer. Number one, in the Marshall Islands, I had some concerns, several of them, in fact, and I decided the time to pray and to fast. I was concerned enough about what was going on that I was going to pray about it. It was more important than eating, and that's part of what fasting really is all about, that you put God first in your life instead of some of what you consider necessities. I can say at the end of a week of doing that, God answered prayer about six different things I had that I think I was praying for at the time. In St. Vincent, as we had been there for several years, we had started a tent ministry. We had about 40 people show up. We had 2 weeks of meetings and then started working towards having a church. And after about 3 years meeting in the tent, we finally came to the decision that it looked like it was time to close the tent and go away. We had, out of 40 people, 20 people moved off island in 1 month. They weren't still in the neighborhood. They weren't just backslidden. They were actually gone. And my wife and I said, what's happening here? So we began to pray that if, Lord, you would provide us with a piece of land, we could go home on our furlough, raise the money, come back and build a church building. But you know, when we pray, there's generally three ways people think of as an answer to prayer. There's yes and no and wait a while. But I believe there's another one out there. And I believe that God can give you something far better than what you're even praying for. And so as we begin to pray, Lord, if we can't find a piece of empty land that we can raise funds for a building, then we will take the tent down, we'll pack it up, we may come back to St. Vincent, but we'll go to a different location, a different village. But as we were there, we found out that the Charismatics had started a church years and years ago, and they had moved across the mountain to a different location, and their building had been bought and turned into a hardware store. And the people that ran the hardware store for about 7 years, I found out suddenly, had it for sale. And we went down and talked to him on Wednesday. He had not put any permanent walls in or anything like that. So he slid his stuff out. We put our stuff in, and the following Sunday, we met in this new building that we are still located in. So God answered far better than just an empty lot somewhere. We had a building already there in progress. And then the third time I want to talk about prayer requests being answered, my wife about 2 weeks ago woke up 5 o'clock in the morning, which isn't too unusual for her. She listened to the news, but she began to feel bad, began to have a pain, and I noticed that she got dressed, which is unusual. Generally, she waits until after breakfast and gets dressed then, and then she's dressing, and I realize she's hurting from what she's saying, and she's getting dressed kind of slowly, and I figured I better get up. And so by 6 o'clock, she's hurting from her neck down to about her stomach. And I drove her over to the emergency ward. Miracles, they let me come in with a mask on. And they did some tests. And then they said to her, we're going to send you in a helicopter up to Norfolk. And as soon as they said that, I knew that this was serious, serious. They used these medical terms, so my wife maybe would stay calm. She didn't understand until later. But as they were taking her out to the helicopter, they said she is having a heart attack. And so they were going to fly her off. We lived about 3-4 minutes from the hospital, so I got home. And I said, she needs prayer. And how am I going to get people to know she needs prayer? I don't have a Facebook page. My wife does. I hijack hers. And so that particular morning, I hijacked her Facebook page. I put up a notice that she was probably on the helicopter, still going to Norfolk, and she needed prayer, that she was, in fact, having a heart attack. I posted that, and literally within a second or 2 seconds, maybe, I had somebody praying, somebody else praying. And within less than a minute, my phone was ringing. People were connecting and saying, praying and sharing with 40, 50 other people or whatever. I lost track. I'd say well over 1,000 people within a few minutes of me first posting that began to pray for her. She was there. They did a stent. They kept her awake the whole time. And she got out of the hospital on Saturday and was able to come home. Monday, she was telling people she can't believe she had a heart attack because she's feeling so good. She's kind of had some uppy-downy days since then, but basically she seems to have recovered, and we thank the Lord for answer to prayer. And you need to ask God, not for even all of the big things, something like that, but for even little things like you lost your car keys, Lord, where did I put them, and so on. This evening, I'm going to play a song that I have liked over the years, Master of the Tempest is Raging.
Thank you, Brother Barry. What a blessing. What an encouragement. Let's go and get our Bibles open up to Daniel chapter number 4. And I can actually, it's Jonah chapter number 3. Make a mistake every once in a while. That's why it's recorded. You can edit it out later. Oh, I guess not. Jonah chapter number 3. Just like as I mentioned this morning, we're going to be spending most of our time looking at our prayer list for our week of fasting and praying. And I'm excited about what God can do, as Brother Barry was speaking about and giving short testimony about time and time again. I could give you the same testimony. God provided, God answered. Many times not the way I was expecting, but always has been faithful. And so as we consider here in Jonah chapter number 3, the people in Nineveh have heard that God is getting ready to, hears that God's going to punish them. And it talks about the overthrowing of the city of Nineveh. And the people respond. You know how they respond? They respond with praying and fasting. And this is the encouragement that we've heard on Wednesday night and continual this morning with Nehemiah about praying and fasting. Praying and fasting is a game changer. If you are willing to do it with the right heart and the right mind, God can definitely work. And so let's just read Jonah chapter number 3. We'll spend a short time describing what's going on here, and then we'll jump right in into our prayer list of the things that help us pray. Our week of prayer and fasting is something, if this is the first time you're hearing about it, maybe watching, it's something we've combined with 6 other local independent Baptist churches between the week of April 20th to April 26th. Each church is taking a day to pray for America, to pray for our families, to pray for our churches. And our day is on Monday, and we divided it up into 20-minute increments. Most of the slots are almost filled up, so if you do not have a slot yet and you would like to have one, please text me, and we can make sure we fill in the last few spots that we have left. But here in Jonah chapter number 3, they hear the word of God, they respond to the word of God, and they seek God's face. Let's look what it says in Jonah chapter number 3. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying," and once again, this is amazing that God is merciful. Most of us know the story of Jonah. He was a prophet. He was told by God to go to Nineveh. He decided to go the other way, was cast over the boat, swallowed by the fish, spat back up. And now, after Jonah got right in chapter number 2, God's giving him the second message, the same message, but wanting him to be obedient. He says, "Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So he's telling him, hey, look, do what I told you to do before and preach what I tell you to preach. Verse number 3, "So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey." It would take 3 days to walk through the city of Jonah, the city of Nineveh. "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey." So he's 1/3 into the city. There's really no turning back at this point in time. And this is, if God tells us to do something, we should enter it with our whole heart and be ready to go and just do what he leads. He said he enters into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown." What a message. He gets to get up there and start preaching. You know, Nineveh's going to be overthrown in 40 days. But look at the difference that happens in verse number 5. "So the people of Nineveh believed God." Now that's the key. Do you believe God? Do you believe what he says? Do you believe when he says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart"? Do you believe when he says, "Call on me, and I will answer thee, and show thee mighty and great things which thou knowest not"? Do you believe him when he gives all these prayer promises in his word? Now the people of Nineveh, they believed God. And that's the key difference. Do you believe God in your life? And I'm not talking about a belief that says, yeah, I agree. I know he's God. I know the Bible's right. The Bible's true. No, a belief that changes how we look at things. And that's what happens here in Nineveh. So the people believed God. The people in Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. "For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands." Now, we're not going to, like I said, only spend a short time here, but you see a nation that's in trouble, or at least a city, a capital city that's in trouble. They know the overthrowing of God is coming, and what do? They repent. They claim a fast, and it says they cry mightily unto God. And I want to encourage you that this is what moves the heart of God, a person who is humble, a person that is contrite, a person that is seeking God and crying out to God. And I love verse number 9. It's one of my favorite sayings in the Bible. If I have a top 10 favorite sayings, this is one of them. Who can tell if God will? And that's, I know it says, turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. But who can tell if God will? And that's the point is, who can tell what God will do? If we are faithful and we do what we're supposed to do, now God can do whatever he wants. God has not told them that if they return to him, that they're going to, he's going to save the city. God has not given them a promise there. All Jonah has said that they're going to overthrow the city in 40 days. And here, the king gets it. The king sees their evilness. The king believes what God's word is saying, and he responds to the belief that's there. And that's all we're doing next week with our prayer and fasting. We are believing God, taking God at his word, holding on to God's prayer promises, and holding on to the promises of the word of God, and saying, God, we believe there is a great need in the day and time that we live in, and we believe that you can make a difference, and we are seeking your face. We are trusting you for whatever you plan to do, whatever you choose to do, but we are casting our cares upon you, and we want you to teach us and show us what you want us to learn during this time. And who can tell if God will? Now, here there is a set day. Here there is 40 days in the overthrowing. We do not know how long before Christ will come back. We do not know how long it is till America maybe would be punished even in a greater way, or the overthrowing of America. I'm not saying that I have a special word from God that is new and different. God has his completed word of God he's given us. But I do know, because of the sins of America and the way that America is heading, the only thing that is keeping America safe and the only thing that is keeping God's blessing on America is the Christians that are fasting and the Christians that are praying and the Christians that are seeking God. I truly believe that we are the only ones that can stand in the gap. I don't know what the exact quote was, but I know the governor of New York this past week, and they was talking about how they have slowed down the spread of the virus, and he talked about the importance of social distancing. And he had said something, and I wish I would have wrote down the quote, but he says it wasn't God that slowed down the virus. It was us. He was saying, because we took this step and we took that step. I tell you, that is a very scary thought when somebody starts bringing God in the equation, saying, God's not the one helping us. We're doing it ourselves. And that is a sign that there are people who truly do not know who God is and who do not understand who God is and know what God is capable of and what God is trying to do in our nation. What we would love to see is what we see here in the book of Nineveh. And we see people that when they hear the word of God and they're presented with the word of God, they believe the word of God, and they repent, and they go in sackcloth and ashes, and they begin to pray mightily unto God, and they begin to fast. But you know who's going to make that difference? It's the believers that are being obedient. You think about it. Who started this? I know it was God. Don't get me wrong. But Jonah, finally having a heart that is right with God in chapter number 2, is the vessel that God uses to bring this city to revival. And what I believe is one of the greatest revivals in history, a whole entire city. And in just a very quick, short time, is turning to God. And who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would not do unto them. And he did it not. Praise the Lord. Consider this. These people turned from the evil ways and they cried mightily out to God. How much different would America be if we would turn from our evil ways and cry out to God and be sorrowful for our sins? And that's what we should be praying for. That's what we should be seeking. So here in our prayer list, we're going to have it up on the big screen tonight, so that way if you did not get a copy, you can just kind of you can write these things down. There's a number of things. The first thing I know what some of you are going to say when you see the prayer list is say, hey, Pastor, where is the request for the stop of the spread of the virus or for a vaccine or for a cure. Once again, I think everybody's praying for that. And yes, that is a good thing to pray for during your prayer time. My main focus here was a spiritual side of things when it came to the prayer list, not as much as physical. Yes, there will be some physical things later on, but the greatest need we have today is a spiritual need and a great awakening amongst us. As you see here in this story, the man of God finally got his heart right, and he began to preach God's message, and the need is that people would believe the word of God and believe God's word that says that you're going to sow what you reap. You're going to reap what you sow, and believe the word of God when it talks about hell and when it talks about the punishment for those that are wicked, when it talks about how a nation can return to God in 2 Chronicles 7:14. All these different things are things that I truly, honestly think we should be praying for. Now, on your prayer list, if you have it in front of you, it is something that has a certain part of prayer. And then after that, it gives you some verses. The goal here was to give you something that would make it easy to help you develop your own prayers. Now, I'm not going to try to write the prayer out for you. That's not praying. That's repeating. But these are some thoughts to give you. And if you go through these different thoughts, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to have any problem praying for 20 minutes. If I spend time, I can spend time, and I'm not bragging about this, but I can spend, a number of minutes on any one of these things. You could spend 20 minutes on the first thing about praising God alone. And we start with it's a prayer of praise. If you're familiar with Faith Baptist Church, if you're familiar with my encouragement to extend your prayer time during this time and a prayer challenge that we're going through, if you are, you know that I believe the best thing you can do is start off with praise. And as some would debate, hey, you should start off with confessing. And I understand what they're saying, but I think a prayer of praise puts God on the throne. We see him high, lifted up, and holy. And as we see him holy, guess what we're going to do? We're going to see that, hey, we are wicked and we have problems and we need to confess those things. So the first thing, it's a prayer of praise. Matthew 6:9 talks about our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That word hallowed refers to the praise that he deserves. Psalms 104, and that's not on your prayer list there, but Psalms 104 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. So as we begin your prayer time, these 20-minute slots, the greatest thing you can do in your life is get a good view of who God is. And as you open up in praying, you'll see that I'm trying to glorify God. And the Bible says, but thou art holy, O thou, that inhabitest the praises of Israel. That means God is there. He's inhabiting the praises of Israel. He's listening. And so the best thing we can do is praise the Lord to begin with. Now, I talk for a long time about this, but remember, he's available to us. He is our Father. And now, as you're coming to him and you're saying to God, God, please help me. Can you imagine if you hopefully have a great relationship with your earthly father, you go to your father and say, Dad, I need some help here. Can you help me with that? And once again, if you're coming to him with a sincere heart, I know my father would help me any way that he could if I was coming with a sincere heart with a sincere need. And as you're approaching God, he's available to you because he says, hey, come unto me. He says unto him, call unto me. He tells you to come unto him. He even says, hey, I am your Father which art in heaven. And he's saying, now view it me as being available to you. But also think about the access we have from the blood of Jesus Christ and through the blood of Jesus Christ. But think about how awesome he is. He is the creator of the world. He is the owner of all things. He is the one who nourishes us, satisfies us, and provides for us. He never changes. He sees our every need. And as we are praising God and we see him that way, all we really can truly do and all I really can do is surrender myself. Okay, God, whatever you want. So in Jonah chapter number 2, you see Jonah learning this lesson, and he's in the belly of the whale, he's in the belly of this fish, and he sees himself, he realizes what he does, he recommits to God, he surrenders to God, and says, God, okay, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And then he continues on. What does God do? The fish vomits out Jonah, and Jonah goes and does it. So the first thing I think is important is it's a prayer of praise. As I'm praising the Lord, I always try to finish by saying, Lord, you are the creator, the owner of all things. I surrender myself to you. As I enter into this prayer time, I am surrendering myself unto you. And he said, Pastor, this is different. This is, we're praying for our nation. The only way we truly can get a hold of God's heart is when we say, God, we see you as God. We want you to use me in this life to make a difference in this country or make a difference in this world. Second thing is a prayer of confession. The Bible does say, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord's not going to hear me. The point is, and we're not going to spend a lot of time here because it's the same thing, we've gone over these amongst our church, but if you're listening for the first time, make sure you're right with God. As you surrender to him, you can ask him, Lord, search me, see if there's any wicked way in me. And know that, you know, and ask him, know my thoughts. You know, he asked him to lead me in the way everlasting. Ask God to seek you and show you the different things. My goal is that your 20 minutes would not have to include the praise and the confession. Hopefully you start off a few minutes earlier, making sure your heart's ready and ready to go. But these two things are important. These two things are key. So make sure you don't skip over those. These are not requests when it comes to the situation right now. This is requests for every day of our life, to making sure we're right as we enter into the presence of God. The third thing, and as I was praying through this list and even, you know, talking to some of the other pastors of the church, I think this one is key, is pray. It's a prayer, or pray for wisdom on how to react. You see that as the third thing down there. I don't know about you, but I need wisdom during this time. And it's amazing in the day and time we live in, and even people that even go to our own church, to have such differences of opinions about the virus. Some who say it's a complete hoax, the government is trying to take away all away our freedoms. Some on this side, we should never close down. This is ridiculous. Let's go get the guns and let's go out after everybody and get back our freedom. And then on the other side, there's people who are saying, you know what, we shouldn't open up for another year till this is all gone. And this is, we need to make sure being extra cautious. And that, you know, you hear both sides and you hear all those different things. Me, I don't give too many opinions except for when it comes to scriptural things. I see some truth and a little bit of truth in both areas. And I think where God wants us to land is somewhere in the middle and saying, hey, okay, let's be cautious, but let's also make sure that we're trusting God and we're not acting in a way of fear. Instead, we're acting in a way of faith and let's do what's right. But we need God's help. I can't come up with this. I haven't had anybody that really said, hey, I got all the answers from God. I've been praying. I've been seeking God's face. There's a lot of opinions that I'm hearing, but there isn't a lot of people that have said, hey, Pastor, I've prayed about this and I fasted about this, and this is what I think we should do. And I know people aren't going to tell me what they think, but tell me what to do. But at the same time, I've had people challenge me and say, hey, Pastor, you know, because we're not having regular church services, are we having enough faith? And I told them, I says, I prayed about it, and this is what I believe we should do as of right now. And to me, I'm being faithful to God. And sometimes the challenge is, you know, it would be easier to have church, even though you would have a backlash, but at the same time, it takes just as much faith to say, okay, this is the way we should do it. This is how God's leading. Because there are people on this side saying, hey, you're being weak because, no, I believe I'm doing exactly what God wants us to do. And that's what we're going to continue on going. And that's what we're going to continue on doing, however the Lord leads. But where do you get that from? Wisdom. You need wisdom. I need wisdom. But you look at the phrase, it says, pray for wisdom on how to react. I don't know about you, but there is crazy people out there. There's people that are taking all the toilet paper. There's people that are acting insane. There's people who are aggressive. There's people who are acting delusional. I don't know how to respond to them. Sometimes I can sit there and just shake my head. Sometimes I just watch. You know, does it mean when somebody acts in anger to us, do we respond with anger? I just don't see that in Scripture. I don't see where some of the reactions that people are having, the fear, the anxiety, the worry, the overwhelmed acting people, even believers and Christians. How do you react to those people? And some of those things, I don't really know. But there is one who knows, and that's God. And the wonderful thing, he says in his word, in James 1:5, he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And that's what we can do. We can ask of God. And then he continues on. He give it to all men liberally and upbraid if not. And I want you to understand the truth that's found here. If you need wisdom, and that's one of the first things, Lord, let me have wisdom. Let me react the right way. Let me be faithful. when I'm going down this prayer list, Lord, I need to know how to pray. I need to be Spirit-led. Lord, I'm seeking for wisdom on how to pray to you. Because we don't want man's words. We want the Holy Spirit of God to lead us and direct us in the prayers. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord of all thine heart and lean not on thy own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's verse number 7. You know, there's the key is I'm trusting him in every area. In all my ways, I'm acknowledging him. I'm going to let God direct my paths over here. That's a prayer promise we need to hold on to in this time. And I need to pray for wisdom. God, tell me how to react. I want to react with faith, but I don't want to do something that's outside of your will. I don't want to rush you, Lord. I want to walk with you. And I don't know how to respond. God, I need wisdom and how to help my family. I need wisdom how to help my work for those that are working. I need wisdom how to help my church family. I need to know what's too much, what's not enough, because I don't have all the information. If I had all the details of all the information and we know we could truthfully understand what is happening, guess what? Then we could come to a logical conclusion. But I don't know if anybody has all that information. But you know who does? It's one up in heaven that does. And he's the one that says, hey, if you need some wisdom, I can help you. But we have to seek it. Next thing is pray for a great turning to God. Isaiah 57:15 says this, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. They say, Pastor, where is that about talking about turning to God? Those that are humble and those that are contrite are the ones that are seeking God. Just as these men and ladies here in Jonah chapter number 3, specifically the king and the decree that was made, they turned from their wicked ways. Those are the ones that God will respond to. And when we're talking about turning to God, there's two groups underneath that. The first one is for believers to seek after God. The scripture says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Here in 2 Chronicles 7:14, they're saying, hey, believers, if you'll turn to God, as you see here, Jonah worked in the story of Nineveh. They turned from their evil ways. They cried mightily out unto God. And that's what it's saying here is, hey, if a believer will turn to God, God will help your land. God will heal your lands. I think the reason why America is still such a great nation today is because there are people who are humble and people that are turning from their wicked ways and people that are seeking God and asking God for help. But as you're praying, don't only just pray that. And you say, Pastor, I don't know if I could pray for 20 minutes. Put down some of these verses underneath your prayer list. Write them out and be praying these words. But also pray for the unbelievers to turn to him in faith. Yeah, here's the thing. Not only do we want to see God's people getting right, and I think God is trying to work in their people in his people's lives, but he also wants to see people to be saved too. Remember, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the Bible says in Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm praying for a mighty moving of God among our people, plus that many will come to know him as Savior. And I'm not praying for crisis-type Christianity, that people are going to turn just to try to get something from God. That's not going to work. Is when a person sees himself as a sinner, and is when a person sees himself in need of a Savior, and they turn to God and put their faith and trust in God, that is when a person becomes a believer. And I want to encourage people today, as we're going down these prayer lists, be praying for a mighty turning to God. Pray that the Christian will turn to God and away from their wicked ways. And think about what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. And be honest with yourself. You've already surrendered and say, Lord, at the best as I know how, this is what I want for my life. I want to be one of those that is helping bring revival to my nation. But I also want to see many people at the end of this virus that there's going to be some devastating effects, they say. But you can see the rejoicing that can happen when people are becoming Christians and believers and praising the Lord. Next one. I was to continue down the list. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our leaders. This is a scriptural thing. The Bible says in 2 Timothy verses 1 through 5, and it says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Then it continues, for kings, and says, all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is the good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now listen to the next phrase. Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So what he's saying is that, yes, we should pray for our leaders, but what is the request? The request is that they would be saved. And that's what I pray for. I pray that our leaders would either fear God as a believer, if they already are believers, or that they would learn to be saved and understand the truth of the one mediator between God and men. The one that's standing in leadership role has to understand the one that they have to go through is through Jesus Christ if they want God's help and how much they need God's help. The next thing I want you to think about is to pray for our churches. Not only do we pray for our leaders, we pray for our churches. I think I'm lost. There we go. So praying for our churches must not be on there. Was on my piece, pray for our families. Pray for our churches somehow got left off of there. I bet you it's one of those guys back at the sound booth messing around. No, I'm sure it was. Yep, the new guy that's back there this week, it's him. But praying for our churches should be on your prayer list. Write that down. I'm praying for God's power in our churches. I'm praying for unity amongst our church family. The devil is attacking our churches, and we need to learn how to pray for our churches. You say, Pastor, how do I pray for our churches? Well, last Sunday afternoon, it showed how Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus. It's a wonderful prayer. It's one of those great prayers of the Bible that you can look at and study and see what he was talking about knowing God, about knowing God's will, about knowing the power of God. Now, there are certain things that we should pray for, and the scriptures teach us. Colossians chapter number 1 is another great prayer for the churches and for the people of the church. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12 says, For this cause also we, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So Paul's saying, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will. I want you to be filled with the spiritual understanding. Then he continues on, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There's a number of prayers in the Bible that is directed to churches and directed to individuals that would teach us how to pray for our churches. The devil's trying to attack our churches. And yes, we do need to pray for the finances. And yes, we do need to pray for the ministries. But if we begin to pray for churches and individuals like this, those other things will be taken care of. The next thing I want you to think about is pray for our families. That's up top there. This morning we preached about Nehemiah. And Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14, I love it when he looks at the people who are facing uncertainty, who are facing threats, who have been mocked about building this wall. And he says to them, And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, for your sons, for your daughters, for your wives, and your houses. He's saying, look, fight. And we need to pray for our families. The devil's trying to attack our families, and we need to learn to pray for them. The devil is attacking our Christian homes, and we should be praying for them. When is the last time we have fasted and prayed for our families? The need is great. The need is there. Divorce rate is crazy. Even in Christian homes, people getting divorced. Family members, young people that are getting up and leaving the house, never to go back to church again after they become adults. This is a call for prayer. This is a call for fasting. We need to pray for our families. It's under attack, and you consider your own family during this time, but not only not our own family, but families inside our church family. Next one, we begin thinking about some of the physical needs that are here. Pray for provision. I don't know why I clicked that. Let's see here. Now it doesn't want to come back. Okay. They'll fix it in the back, I'm sure, for me. Pray for provision. Provision. Philippians 4:19 says, But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And what a wonderful verse. He's saying God is going to supply all your need. Does that mean when the virus happens that it's not going to supply the need anymore? It doesn't. It means that God's going to be able to do that. He's going to provide our provision. But are we supposed to pray for it? We sure are. In that model prayer, he says, give us this day our daily bread. And in this time and day, you know, the daily bread is still out there. I mean, I know it's not as many, might not get the type of loaf of bread you want, but there's still bread at the store most of the times. It's there. But he's saying, I want you to understand an important point. I provide these things for you. And you need to ask and understand that everything that you have comes from me. So pray for, you know, pray this day for our daily bread provisions. Now, up there, and I might take a little flack for this, up there you see that it says missionaries and evangelists. I have a special heart for those that are serving the Lord and they've given their hearts and given their lives and they live according to meetings or according to the generosity of God's people. So I think there's somebody who should be on our list. Now, should there be people who are unemployed and doesn't? Yes. Should there be people with large families that can't get everything? Of course. But those are a couple there that I mentioned on purpose because I want us to not forget about those. And then once again, be concerned. Like we learned this morning, be compassionate. Be committed. Okay, God, I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to fast about this. Now, God, I'm willing to be available to use whatever way you want. And Lord, I'm here. Use me. I'm going to be courageous and do what you asked me to do, and I'm going to continue on doing it. So all those different things we learned about this morning includes our provisions. If God speaks to our hearts about helping somebody else, great. But this is a time of prayer. So we're praying and saying, God, please provide. Provide things. This is a good time where you can ask her, provide for an anecdote. Provide a cure for the virus. Lord, do what you want to do. You've promised me here, Lord, in your word that you're going to supply all my needs. I know not everything I want, but all my needs. According to his riches, not according to the stimulus check, but according to his riches. Don't need the government there to bail you out. God's going to take care of you. Now, I want you to encourage you here with this, that God is able to do this. But he also asks us to cast our care upon him. So he wants us to pray depending upon him. Pray for our country. Say, Pastor, isn't that the same thing as praying for the great turning? I'm praying that people all over the world, not just our country, but people all over the world would be turning to God as Christians and believers seeking his face in a greater way, as unbelievers seeing their need, how this world is temporal and how this world could end at any moment in time and realize that they should seek after God or need to seek after God. But pray for our country. I included this verse in Psalms 9:17. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Now, we're not here yet about forgetting God, but I don't think we can call ourselves a Christian nation anymore. I think instead we see that there are still a remnant of those that believe, but at the same time, our country is struggling when it comes to the sins of this world. And there are some ugly sins that are horrible inside this nation. I would encourage you to pray for our nation. I know we've already prayed for our leaders, but pray for our nation specifically. Pray for those sins, that we would turn from those sins of abortion, homosexuality, and even of divorce, and sins of, there's just so many different things we could be praying. Pray that God would help our country, help our nation. Find a good verse there and cling on to that promise that's found. Okay, just a few more here. Pray for those affected by the virus. Once again, this is considering some physical needs that are there. Pray for those that are affected by the virus. Look what it says in James chapter number 4, and we're going to read verses 6 through 10. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. That guy in New York City, he's not humble. That's something that God will resist. Then it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You say, Pastor, what does this have to do? It's going to get there. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves there in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. There are people that have been affected by this virus, and what I believe truly the best thing we could do is humble ourselves before God and let God be the one to take us through this, to lift us up. So when you think about those who are affected by the virus, obviously people who are sick, you should pray for those. You can look at the number on the day that you pray. There's this many hundreds of thousands that are affected by this virus or have been affected. Then you can look at it and say, those who have lost loved ones because of the virus. I know what some people are saying, well, the number isn't as big as this or that. I get that. But there are families who have lost loved ones. I don't think we really truly know the exact number. I think there's a lot of false reports out there. But pray for those who've lost loved ones. Pray for frontline workers. There are a lot of people out there that are day by day that are working and doing things that are essential that we need. Pray for those who are unemployed. Obviously, I'm really concerned about the spiritual needs of our world because it's the thing that's going to make a difference long term. But I also want to be, as we talked about this morning, concerned and compassionate about those that have needs that are hurting. You go to the scriptures and you look through the gospels and what do you see Jesus doing? He's helping people with their spiritual needs, but there's many times he's helping people with their physical needs too. So I want to encourage you, be praying for those that are affected. Don't become so hard-hearted because of the government. It's not handling things right, they say, or this thing isn't going the way you think it should. This way, make sure that you still are being concerned, compassionate, and committed to whatever God wants you to do. Next thing, pray for the peace of God to rule in your hearts. Praise the Lord for that. It can. You see in the world today, there are a lot of people that are filled with fear, filled with anxiety, filled with worry. We can have faith instead of worry. We can have faith instead of fear, wisdom instead of worry, rejoicing instead of regret. And those great verses found in Philippians chapter number 4 are talking about how the peace of God can rule in your hearts and minds. Wonderful thing to pray for. Last but not least, and this is one where I know some of you might look at and say, well, what are you talking about? Well, it's a prayer of thanksgiving. We start with praise, we end with thanksgiving. Listen to what these words say. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now think about it. It doesn't say in everything but a pandemic, or in everything but this, give thanks. It says everything. I wonder how many of us have actually given thanks for this time. Given thanks, knowing that God's in complete control and that God is the one that is orchestrating all the things that are happening. And he is saying, I want you to learn something from this. We can give thanks in everything. And not only should we give thanks in everything, it actually says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is God's plan. God is planning that you will be thankful during this time. Even thankful for the things that are happening in this world, because it's the will of God. What better way to end the prayer time than thanking him for all he's done in the past, everything he's going to do in the future, but even giving thanks during this time of the virus, this time of uncertainty. We have so much we can be thankful for, but believe me, God can use this time. God can use these events to have a great and mighty moving towards him. But we saw this morning, God used Nehemiah. We saw a little bit this afternoon, God used Jonah. The question is God going to use you? He wants to, but the question is, are you going to allow him to? God can do something great in your life. You say, well, I'm not going to do what Nehemiah did. I'm not going to do what Jonah did. Neither one of them got up that morning thinking, I'm going to change a city. But whatever God has planned for you, guess what? It's great. Because it's the God of the universe that has that specific plan for you and is great no matter what it is. Even if it's being a doctor, a lawyer, a garbage truck driver, whatever it is, what you might consider great jobs or bad jobs, whatever it is, if that's God's will, missionary, pastor, teacher, homemaker, you know, whatever it is that God gives you to do, it's the greatest thing you can do with your life. So I would encourage you to take these things, this prayer list, and spend some time looking about it ahead of time. My challenge for you, and I know what some of you are going to say, some of you have 40-minute increments instead of 20 because you wanted a longer prayer time. Great. But my challenge for you is get done the praising first. Get done the confession first So you can spend the rest of the time on that. Now, if you have one of the extended prayer times, I get that maybe you'll need that extra time in there. But make sure your heart's ready to seek God's face for wisdom, to seek God's face for those provisions, to seek God's face for the turning to God, seek God's face for our country and for our families and for our churches, and that the peace of God would rule in our heart, and that we can be thankful during this time. And everything give thanks. You can spend a lot longer than 20 minutes, and let me challenge you to make sure tomorrow that your heart and mind is focused on that, not just for the 20 minutes, but tomorrow to yoke up together in a time of fasting and praying, considering all the different things that God is trying to do in our midst. As I mentioned before, this is a unique thing. I know we've had other plagues. I know we've had other flus. Don't tell me that, because I know that there's other times. And I have a lot of people that says, but where in the world, what other time in history in America have they quarantined us to our houses? What other time in history have they gotten to be $2.2 trillion in debt? And I know that it's similar to these other cases. I'm not dismissing that. I know there's things that happen, and there was people who stood up and people who preach and changes that happened during those times. But this is our moment in time. How are we going to respond here, and how are we going to respond now? The greatest thing I think we can do is to humble ourselves. And the way that we humble ourselves is by fasting and praying, crying mightily out to God, and asking that same thought, who can tell if God will? I'm not saying that there's going to be a mighty revival or a great awakening. We're praying for those things. But who can tell if God will? I can tell you he won't if his people that are called by his name don't humble themselves and don't pray and don't seek their face and don't turn from their ways. I can tell you it's not going to happen then. But I can tell you who, if we try and we do our part, who can tell what God will do? Let's find out. Let's be faithful. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us. We need wisdom. And Lord, it's not just a time of prayer, but it's what should we pray about? And I know this list is something that is just a starter, and I know that, God, you can lead people other ways in the prayer time. But thank you for the people who signed up from our church, the people that signed up from other churches. I'm excited to see what you can do. God, help us. We need you. Lord, in a world that's going crazy, a world that's filled with sin, I am thankful I can turn to a God that can do all things. Lord, I am thankful even during this time. Teach us, Lord, the things you want us to learn, and help us to learn to continue on and those things you show us. In Jesus' name, amen. Guess a couple closing announcements. Like I said, there's still a few slots left. Don't miss your chance there for that. Also, other churches, I saw other churches get involved. You know, some churches are a little bit more updated than I am. And one of the pastors put out this prayer list that they signed up. And I'm on their mailing list, and it's kind of neat. They had a prayer list, and it's a bigger church. But I thought it was kind of neat. They actually have 5 slots for each time slot. They have 20 minutes. So they had their 72 slots, but then they had 5 different slots underneath that. So it was 72 times 5 that is praying that many. So that's kind of neat to think there's that many people that will be praying. Now, all the slots aren't filled yet. I'm not bragging about another church because it's something between them and the Lord. I'm just excited that there's people that we're yoking up with that are like-minded believers that we are able to pray together with. So let's pray for a mighty moving of God. And if you can, consider praying your time slot, at least one of them, especially if you have multiple, all throughout the week. So you know that not only is one person praying, you're praying along with somebody on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I know that's not what you signed up for. I know that might not be capable, but I think it'd be really cool if you could take your slots and just pray throughout the week if God leads you that way. And tomorrow, don't just take your 20 minutes and forget about it. Spend the day with your heart and mind. Focus on the things that we're praying for and consider fasting. And whether it be the whole day, whether it be one meal, whether it be giving up sugar, whatever it is, giving up an electronic, giving up the TV, giving up the video game, whatever it is, you say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Pray about it. God will lead you and show you. And I believe he's interested in seeing God and seeing himself work amongst us. I'm excited about what God's going to do. Now, I mentioned this morning in the service a couple announcements. Revival, spring revival is May 10th through the 13th. Brother Brian McBride, whether it's going to be here at this location or online, we plan on having meetings every single service. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, going to be having service. If we have a chance to have it here, we will, but we will be live streaming it and making sure he's going to be live. If we do the live stream, he's going to be doing it from his location, but they're not going to be sermons that he recorded years ago. They're going to be things that he's been praying about, and the Lord's leading him here and to preach for our to our church those days. So I'm praying that somehow we can figure out a way to have it here. And I'm praying, I think that's the way the Lord's leading, but we'll wait and see what the days ahead hold and what he has the opportunity to do also. But you praying for that too. One last thing, the church now has online giving, and the way you get to the online giving is by doing it, pushing the live stream button on the church website, and then you'll see a spot there that says donate online. We are just making that available for people that don't want to mail a check. I'm amazed, I had a number of people tell me, the only checks we ever write is here at the church. And I was like, okay. And so there are some people that will use it. Does not cost the church anything monthly. There is a small transaction fee. It gives you a chance to cover that transaction fee. That is not a requirement. It has a spot where you can show your general offering or your tithes. It has a spot to show where it's missions. And it has a spot where it says other. And that other is something that's special, that if there's some type of special giving you can want to do, you can give it. And then you can also just let Miss Sharon know what it is that you're giving it towards. Maybe in the future there might be special things that we mark there as we're doing special offerings for certain things. I'm excited about another step that we're getting closer to becoming more accessible to lots of different people. And if people want to give that way, I had a number of people say, hey, if you do that, we're gonna give. I said, that way instead of the other way, I said, that's fine. Just be careful. I think it costs a little bit, the transaction fees higher for a credit card versus a debit. And so just, you know, think about those things, and they'll tell you exactly what that is. Thanks again for being faithful. Be praying throughout tomorrow. Set apart tomorrow to truly seek God. Look forward to seeing you next time. Also, make sure if you need something, let me know. Another installment of the prayer challenge should be up in the next few days. Have a great week.